Okay, so we're in a new season. Okay, Paul and Matt are happy about that. The rest of you, okay, if you're as happy as you look, we need to start praying now. Forget Tuesday morning. We're starting now and we're going through, okay? We're in a new season and I'm excited about what God is going to do in this new season. I'm excited about the stories that are going to be created in this new season. And we're going to look over the next few weeks. This is one of those series that I'm not quite sure how long it's going to last for. Okay, so not quite sure. I've not put a time limit on it because I've entitled what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And there are so many. And they may actually be stories sometimes, some weeks that are not even contained in this book, but they're contained in your life. So the stories of Jesus are not confined to this, although the stories of what Jesus did on earth is confined to this, but the stories of what Jesus is still doing, maybe there is a story in your life that you can come and you can say, this is what Jesus did for me. Because do you know what? We can read the Bible and we preach and we do all of that and it's powerful and it is good, but there is nothing for me more powerful than a story of what Jesus has done today. In your life, in my life. And so we're going to be looking at stories about Jesus and just kind of bringing in some themes to go with them. But I want to tell you a story about me. Okay, before I get to Jesus, most of it is going to be about Jesus, right? So if you're a visitor in here this morning, I'm not going to preach about me. I am actually going to talk about Jesus. But I was kind of thinking as I've been prepping this, when I was really small, at least I think it was me. So if you ask my parents, they may tell you a totally different story, but it goes well with my sermon, right? So it was either me or it was either me and my sister or my sister and brother, but I'm going to take it as it was me. So I was really small. My sister is 3 years older than me. I'm the youngest of three. And we all know that the youngest, it's a bit of a hard job. In it, Freya. Oh, she's not in here. She's not in here for me to kind of comment that. Okay. And so one day my mum, I'm not quite sure what she needed to do, but she told my sister to watch me. Those were her exact words, right? She says, right, Karen, well, I just go and do this. Will you watch Joe? And Karen's like, yeah. She was about 4 at the time or 5 maybe. And so she left my big sister in charge of me. I don't know whether she went to the loo. I don't know what she did. But it was only for a few moments. And so she went and did whatever she was doing. And she came back. And we had, at the house that we were in, a dining kitchen. And that was kind of our room. The front room, you could only watch TV in there. You weren't allowed sweets in there. It was like the room. Do you have one of those in your house, the room, and you're not allowed to wear your shoes in there? Okay, you've got to like, you know, you've got to go and sit down and be kind of, you know, kind of quiet. It would never happened in our house. But so we were in the dining kitchen. That's where all of our toys was. It's where we ate together. It's where my mum basically spent all of her life. And so like we were in there and my mum came back into the dining room, into the dining kitchen, and there was stuff everywhere. It was like a tornado had ripped through, okay, that kitchen in the 3 minutes or so that she was out of the room, and there was stuff absolutely everywhere. So my sister being the oldest, my mum looked at her and said, Karen, I thought I told you to watch your sister. So Karen looked at her. She's got quite a dry sense of humor, my sister. She said, I did. She says, well, why is the room looking like this, Karen? She said, because I watched her tip everything out of the drawers. And she basically, my sister did exactly that. You've got to be careful with kids, aren't you? Because you tell them to. She did exactly what my mum had told her to do. She watched me. Those were my mum's exact words to my sister. She watched me. It just so happens that what I was doing at the time was tipping everything out of the drawers. And she watched me make the whole room an absolute mess. So my mum had to come in and she had to clean it up. And I remember a few years later, very rarely did my mum leave my sister in charge of me, because when she did, there was absolute anarchy in the house and usually a few bruises here and there as well. Okay, me and my sister sometimes didn't get on. We were either the best of friends or we were the worst of enemies. And Karen would come to me sometimes and go, Joe, you need to do this. And so me being the obedient younger sister would go, no. Who are you? Who are you to tell me what I need to do? Apart from that she was like a lot bigger than me and she could have pummeled me to the ground at any moment, any given moment, I should have kind of realized that. And she'd say to me, Joe, you have to do this. I'm like, no, I don't. Bit of attitude going on. And unless she said one sentence, I ignored her completely. So, Joe, you have to do this. No, I don't. Unless she came up with the sentence, Joe, mum said, you have to do this. And then this was my dilemma. Either she's telling me mum said and she is lying, to get me to do what she wants me to do. Or she's telling me, Mum said, and she's telling the truth. And if I don't do what she's telling me to do, I'm going to be in trouble. So I had this dilemma every time. But every time I wouldn't listen to her unless she came out. She soon learned this. Unless she came out with the line, Mum said. If Mum had said, I would probably do. Okay, because I would know if Mum has said and I don't do, I am going to be in trouble. And you did not want, my mum looks like sweetness and light, doesn't she? Like when she comes to church, when she's cooking for everyone on mission, okay, and like all the kids go up to her and smile and say, could I please have a bit more of that pudding? And she slaps it on their plate. That's not what she was like when I was growing up. Like Grandma Elsie is lovely. Like my kids get what they want. My kids drop something or throw something on the floor that they don't know eat. I don't think they're meant to do that. I'm like, they fully meant to do that, Mother. She's like, no. Let's just give them the pudding anyway. No. I'm like, you would never do that to me. She says, well, they're really cute. I'm like, what are you saying? But the line Mum said made me think twice. And what I want to do this morning, we're going to unpack a story in the book of Mark. We're going to be going through the book of Mark in these studies over the next few weeks. And I want to just read you a story from the book of Mark that talks about authority. And it talks about the authority that Jesus had that was a real authority. It wasn't a big brother authority. Whereas, if my big brother or sister came to me and said, do this, I would say no. If they said, Mum said, I would say yes. Okay, he had the real authority. And we're going to look this morning at what that is all about. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you haven't, bring them next week, then you make sure I'm preaching properly. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 21. Got to stand in the light, then I can see. Okay, it says this. They came at last to the village of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus went straight into the synagogue, sat down and began to teach. The people looked at each other amazed because this strange teacher acted as one authorized by God. And what he taught affected them in ways their own scribes and teachings could not. Just then, a man in the gathering who was overcome by an unclean spirit shouted, what are you doing here, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I can see who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Jesus said, be quiet and come out of him. The man's body began to shake and shudder, and then howling, the spirit flew out of the man. The people couldn't stop talking about what they had seen. Who is this Jesus? This is a new teaching, and it has such authority. Even the unclean spirits obey his command. It wasn't long before news of Jesus spread over the countryside of Galilee. Before we get into that text, I want to just give you a bit of an overview of the book of Mark. So there's four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the book of Mark concentrates more on what Jesus did than what he said. So if you read through the book of Matthew, the first few chapters are all about chapters 5 and 6, and that are all about what he said. They're the Sermon on the Mount. Mark doesn't cover any of that. Mark talks about what he did. So in the book of Mark, it covers around 19 miracles. Okay, he talks about the things that Jesus did. Now, Mark grew up in Jerusalem. So he was a God follower. He was a Jew. He knew all about the Jewish customs. And if you look at the Gospels, usually the Gospels, when you look at who wrote them and why they wrote them, they're written for a certain people group. So the book of Luke is written more for the Gentiles than for the Jews. And the book of Mark was written for the Romans. So he wrote it to show the Romans about Jewish custom and about the life of Jesus and how that fits into the Jewish faith. And I love the book of Mark because the book of Mark is fast-paced. Okay, there's none of that genealogy stuff. Okay, which is great and you can learn a lot from it. But sometimes when I read a book in the Bible, it's just fast paced. It gets straight into the life of Jesus. There's no lists or anything like that. It is just all about what he did. The word immediately is used over 40 times in the book of Mark. He is a fast paced, direct man, and he wants to directly tell you exactly what Jesus did, how he did it, and what happened because of it. I love this book. Mark, his mum, their house was used a lot in the early church. So he was a big player in the life of the early church. And he went around ministering with three of the New Testament apostles. He went with Peter. In fact, we're told that most of his writing is gleaned from Peter. So a lot of what he writes, he learns from Peter. Okay, he went with Paul and he went with Barnabas. This guy was a guy who knew what it was to plant the church, to start the church. And he wrote direct writings about the life and the miracles of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing book. I encourage you over the next few weeks to delve into it yourself and to read it. His writings show Jesus' power, but it also shows his humanity and his emotions as well. And I love the crossover between that. He shows Jesus as a servant of his heavenly Father, but he also shows Jesus as the servant of the ones and the twos in the crowd that followed him. You see, it's one thing to have, you know, this great, awesome power and anointing from God, but if you're going to forget about the ones and the twos, forget it. Because that's why God anoints us. That's why God gives us what he gives us. It's for the ones and the twos that are going to come into our lives. And so the book of Mark shows Jesus stopping, you know, for the one in the crowd who needed him. There were so many people. He could have done, you know, he could have become this superstar, but he shows Jesus as humanity. It's incredible. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look just at three very simple things from the text that we read about authority. And as we go into our new season, both collectively and you individually, as we go into September's clusters, kind of a new season, as we go into this, I want us to go into this with the authority of Jesus. But I think it's very different than what we think authority is like. You know, when I say the word authority, some of you will squirm. Some of you will hate that word. Some of you will go against authority. Some of you will feel like that you've been controlled by authority. Some of you may have a healthy perspective of it, but when I say that word, something will come up in your mind. And what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about real authority. Because that's what Jesus operated with. He operated with real authority. And so I've got three things this morning, and they're simple things. They're things that we can easily get our head around, okay? And they're things that I think will impact us in the new season that we're in. So we're going to talk today about having real productive authority. And the first thing is this, that the first thing is simply this from this passage in Mark, that religion brings rules, but relationship brings authority. We're not here to bring religion and rules. You know, we may have grown up, you may have grown up in the church and been given rule after rule after rule. Do you know what? That's not authority. Relationship brings authority, but religion brings rules. And so I want to say to us this morning, right at the outset, our authority in Christ has everything to do with our relationship with him. Okay, how is your relationship? We've looked the last 6 weeks at how is your soul? How is your relationship with God? Because actually our authority comes out of our relationship. It doesn't come out of ticking off the stuff that we think we're meant to do as Christians. Okay, done my devotion, tick. Okay, been to church today, tick. Okay, oh, even getting to the prayer meeting. Okay, that's at least three more ticks. Okay, and it's not about that. It's not about the rules and the regulations. It's about the relationship. There is freedom in authority that we never thought we had. And with that, I'm jumping ahead of myself. But authority isn't about lording it over others. It's about transformation. Because this is the upshot, that religion can shout out a lot, but it's often void of real authority and bringing change. So when people say to me, what do you do? And I tell them, I'm a minister. Oh, you're religious. No. I can see why you would think that, but actually I go on relationship rather than religion. I have a relationship with God. I'm not into religious activities or duties. There are things that I do out of relationship with God. I want to say to you this morning that religion will tie us up in rules and regulation, but relationship with Jesus will bring us real authority. Relationship with Jesus is what is going to count. You see, the religious leaders thought that title brought authority because you were recognized. But Jesus knew even on days where maybe he wasn't recognized, he still walked with the authority that God had given him. Why else do you think that Jesus would be walking from one town to another. He would be on his way somewhere. And all of a sudden, as he were walking, he would all of a sudden hear footsteps behind him. And he would turn around and there would be crowds following him. Why? Because he was just on his way somewhere. There wasn't a building or a tent set up, or, you know, he didn't have a microphone, or he didn't have anything like that. It wasn't an event. He was just going somewhere. He might have been going to the shop for all we know, okay? And he was walking somewhere, and all of a sudden there were crowds of people because they recognized authority. And that authority didn't come from him screaming and shouting. That authority didn't come from a title, because at that point he had none. The demons recognized who he was, okay? But everybody else didn't, and they weren't quite sure who this Jesus bloke was, okay? So why did people follow him? Because he had real authority that came from a relationship with his Father. Jesus lived with authority, and it was seen before he did any miracles in what he said. Jesus' demeanor was one of authority because of his relationship with the Father. Do you know, he was brought up with Jewish customs. He was brought up doing all of the right things, but it was only relationship that gave him what he needed. And you know what? This morning, relationship with God gives us authority over the things that Matt's already talked about. Relationship this morning with God this morning gives us authority over sin. Those things that you're trying hard on your own to quit, those addictions, those things that you keep doing that you know are wrong. Do you know what? We get authority over those things when we get relationship with Jesus. That's the only way we're going to do it. We can try the 10 or 12 steps of help and all of that. And do you know what? Some of that is really good. But I want to say to you this morning, if you want real freedom, if you want real authority over those things, the only way to get it is to have a friendship and a relationship with Jesus. Our lives will be void of any authority spiritual if it's void of relationship with the Father. So I want to really challenge us at the beginning, and hopefully inspire us at the beginning of this new season. How is your relationship with God? Do you have one? If you don't, I want a chance this morning to introduce you to him. Because my life changed forever the day I handed the reins over to him. Do you know what? I don't follow rules. I follow Jesus. I know what the rules are. I know how to be a good Christian. I know when to raise my hands in church. I know the line of the song that everybody's going to do that on, so I don't feel out of place. If you're around long enough, you find out the customs and you find out stuff like that. But I don't follow rules. I follow Jesus. And within that, Jesus requires that I live my life sometimes in certain ways. But for me, that comes out of relationship. It doesn't come out of rules and regulations. The religious leaders of the time, I think they're giving a bit of a hard go at, really, because actually they knew no different. All they were doing was what they'd been taught to do. They knew no different. They were doing what, you know, they were bringing the law of Moses, and they were bringing all of that stuff into the synagogue. They didn't know any different. Yet Jesus brought a different way. He brought grace and he brought relationship. And that way was to fulfill the law. That way wasn't just to come and condemn the law. It was actually, Jesus was a fulfillment of everything that the law represented. Because the law said that when you've messed up, you've got to get an animal, okay, and you've got to kill a perfect animal, and the blood of the animal will cleanse you from your sin. And this is what God says, that at one point there is going to be one person who is going to die, and that is going to be the last thing that needs to be killed, that needs to die, because when he does that, you're going to have relationship with God. You see, authority doesn't come from rules. It comes from relationship. Grace gives us the power and the desire to live right. I want to tell you something that happened to me when I was a teenager. Growing up in church in the 80s was not an easy thing, okay? And, you know, if we went on the platform, we had to wear a hat. That did not go down well with me, okay? And because it couldn't be, like Ruth's laughing because she knows exactly what I mean. It couldn't be like a cool hat. Like, they look like doilies. Let's be honest. If you were brought up in the 80s in church, you might know what I mean. And you had to, like, clip them in place. And you had to put it on to get up on the platform. And, you know, and it was the custom then. It was the way that things were done then. And I kind of used to kick against rules a little bit. So I'd put it on in a funny angle if I put it on at all. Or, you know, I'd kind of kick against the rules a little bit because I didn't like it, because I was like 13 and I thought I could do everything better. Okay, but I can remember one day just praying. And I was making decisions about like how I was going to live my life. I went to a party with our youth, and it was all of our youth together. So there was our older youth and our 18 to 30s kind of age group. And then there was me. I got invited because I was like, it was at my cousin's house. So I went, and I've got to be honest, some of the behavior at that party is not what Jesus would have done. Okay, it's not. And I can remember kind of being there, and they wouldn't like give me any alcohol or anything because like they were all scared of my dad. So they wouldn't do that. But I can remember kind of sitting and watching, and God, the Holy Spirit just began, or things just started to come into my head that I've later found out was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I began to make some decisions when I was a teenager on certain things. And I made two very significant decisions. Number one, I wasn't going to watch anything that was going to be wrong for me to watch. So immediately I decided as a 14-year-old kid, anything that is an 18 is not good for me to watch. So I just ruled it out. For the whole of my life, I've just ruled it out. Not because of rules, but because of relationship. And I made a decision that night that actually I'm not going to do the alcohol thing. Now, the Bible doesn't say that you can't drink. It doesn't. It does say don't get drunk, but it doesn't say that you can't drink. But I made a decision then that I wasn't going to drink. And actually, even God took the taste. I hate the taste of alcohol. Someone spilt some on me once and I went to lick my hand and I couldn't cope with it. But I made a decision as a teenager that those were two things that I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to drink and I wasn't going to watch things that are not going to be good for me. And on both occasions, it wasn't God shaking his fist at me and telling me, thou shalt not. It was God gently going, would you be willing not to do that, Joe? And this was the thing that really got me, is when I felt that God says, do you think that behavior reflects me well? And all of a sudden, there was an innate desire within me to live a life that pleased God. And I made a decision, and I've messed up time and time again, but not on those two things, but I've messed up time and time again in other ways, when God says to me, don't do things that don't reflect me well. And you see, because it's been out of relationship, I've not found it difficult. Because it's been out of relationship with God, I've not found it hard. If it had been out of a rule, if it had been God saying you're not allowed to do that, I would have tried every which way to get around it. Because I was that kid in school who, I may not totally break the rule, but I'll try to go as far around it as possible, okay? I'll try and do as close as I can to breaking it, but not actually breaking it so I can't get in trouble. And I was really good at that. But with certain things in my life, when God says, does those things reflect me well? Out of relationship with God, I say, I'm not going to do them. Right. Out of relationship with God, I say, I'm going to live a certain way. Because if it's about rules, I'm not going to do very well. Because there is something innate inside of every human being, which is why Adam and Eve fell, that the moment you tell them you can't do something, you all go out and do it. And I was a youth pastor long enough to know that that is absolutely true. And I only needed to be a parent for a couple of weeks to know again that that is absolutely true. The moment you say no, someone else tries to get around it. But I want to say to you today, it's not about rules. Faith is not about rules. It is about relationship with Jesus Christ. So authority, real authority, is about relationship, not about rules. Number two. Jesus' authority was ordinary. Verse 21 says this, on the Sabbath, Jesus went straight into the synagogue. Jesus' authority was ordinary. He was doing his ordinary stuff. He was going about his ordinary day. This is what Jesus did all of the time. When it was the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. He was just going about his ordinary life. And all of a sudden, because he lived with authority out of relationship with God, he could walk in and see lives change. Do you know what? Sometimes relationships involve routine. We have a routine in our house at the moment because my Friday nights are free and, well, Liz is off. So we have a routine in our house at the moment that Friday night is movie night. It's not a rule. It's not a, you will sit there and you will watch Moana, whether you want to or not, okay? I know you would rather go to bed and go to sleep, but no, we are going to sit as a family and we are going to watch the film. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. They know that they're going to get treats if they've been good. You know, so they come in and what's the movie going to be tonight? I don't know. Let's flick through Sky and let's have a look. And then they'll push it and say, can we watch that? And we'll go, no, because that's a PG and you're only 5 or 6. Okay, so you're not allowed to watch that because mommy and daddy have not watched it. And we have the same kind of repeat every single time. But then we'll find a movie and we'll sit down and we'll watch. You see, sometimes relationship involves routine, but routine and rules are totally different. Customer routine is good. Routine in our relationship with God is good. Don't have a devotional life out of a rule. Have a devotional life out of a relationship and a routine with Jesus. Don't make it a rule in your life, because if you're like me, you're going to break it. But Jesus' authority was ordinary. He was going about his ordinary day. Do you know, sometimes we can downplay the ordinary, but everyone has an ordinary. Tomorrow morning is your ordinary. What are you doing? Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? It's your ordinary. And you know what? You can walk into your ordinary on Monday morning with authority. You can walk into your ordinary, into the office or into school or into wherever you're going to go with the authority of God in you. So that when you come up against situations or when that someone brings a heartbreaking story with you, actually you can act how God needs you to act at that moment. Don't downplay your ordinary, because it's in those ordinary moments that God transforms lives. The majority of Jesus's miracles happened on the way to somewhere. He was on a journey. It's an ordinary thing. As you journey to your workplace, as you journey tomorrow to school, as you're on the bus or you're in the car or you're walking and you see people walking past you, don't downplay your ordinary. Because your ordinary just might help transform someone's life. And thirdly, Jesus' authority was exciting. The people in the temple talked about how they'd never experienced authority like this. And verse 28 says this: it wasn't long before news of Jesus spread over the countryside of Galilee. Do you know what? Excitement and power spreads. The word spreads. When Jesus turns up and begins to do stuff, the word spreads. Because authority, God's authority, is exciting. Real authority, do you know this? Real authority is more about freedom than control. Real authority from God is not about controlling you. It's not about forcing you to do stuff. It's about bringing you freedom. And the only one who has authority to give you that freedom is God, because of what Jesus did on the cross. God's authority over us and working through us is about ours and others' freedom. It's not about control. When Mark, you know, told this story about Jesus, it wasn't about Jesus controlling. It was about Jesus bringing his authority to see the man who was possessed by demons set free. That's what it's about. It's not about control. It's about authority. God talking to me as a teenager about movies and drinking and all that was about freedom, not control. And it wasn't just about my freedom. God saw into my future. He saw the young people that I was going to lead. He saw all of that. And within all of that, he asked me, would I be willing to not do two things? Would I be willing to reflect him well? And so I said yes. And not only did that bring freedom for me, but it actually brought freedom for others. I want to bring some kind of conclusion this morning. I want to read you the same scripture, but from 4 different versions of the Bible. And I've already kind of read it this morning, but 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the Amplified version of the Bible says this: now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. In the Message, it puts it like this: whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete and we are free of it. We are free of all of it. Are you getting this morning? In the NIV, it says this: now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in the Voice, it puts it like this: by the Lord, what I mean is the Spirit, and in any heart, get this, in any heart where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is liberty. It's not a maybe, it's an is. There is freedom. There is liberty. There is all of these things. Where God is present, there is those things. When we think of authority, we think of rules and control, but God's authority is about relationship and about freedom. This morning, if you know God, God doesn't want you to be held in bondage to anything. Those addictions that you're struggling with, do you know what this morning? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Those things that you're struggling, that behavior that you're struggling with, that relationship you're struggling with, that situation that you're struggling with. Do you know what? This morning, I believe that the presence of God is here. And the Bible tells me this is not me. This is the Word of God that tells me that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, through our worship this morning, who believes that God's here? Okay, anyone? You can respond. So if God's here, let's take the Bible by what it says. There is freedom. And when we realize this freedom, there comes an excitement as God begins to transform individuals and then transform communities. Do you know what? This morning, as we are here, there may be things in your life that you go, but you don't know about this. It doesn't matter what it is. This morning, there is freedom for you. You may be struggling with something. You may be struggling with sin. You may be struggling with things in your life, with circumstances. But this morning, there is freedom. And that doesn't always mean that everything changes in our lives, but it means that God comes and brings a personal freedom in us to find Him in the middle of anything. Those things that have trapped you, those images, those things that you think about yourself, those things that other people have said, those situations that you may have been through in your past, you know, all of those things bring control and they bring bondage, but the Spirit of the Lord this morning brings freedom. Real authority brings freedom. Real authority does not bring control. Real authority does not bring in a load of rules that we've got to live by to get the blessing. Real authority is not like that. Real authority brings freedom because God knows in that freedom, God knows that we can do immeasurably more above all than we can ask, think, or even imagine by His power at work within us. God knows that when He gives us freedom, then it's powerful. If God was controlling us, where's the power in that? It's not religion this morning that God's laying out for us. It's freedom. So this morning, we're going to finish. And I want to ask you just a few questions. Number one, what are you going to do with this authority and freedom that God has got for you? What are you going to do with it? Number two, how is your relationship with God? Only you can answer these questions. Do the routines of life give God space to move in you? And is your faith exciting or boring? And you know what? The answer to that question does not reflect church. It does not reflect your connect group. It does not reflect the youth group. It does not reflect anything like that. The answer to that question reflects you. Because you know what? Whatever life's like, whatever church is like, whatever stuff's like, I want my faith to be exciting. That's down to me and my relationship with God. I read something yesterday. I'm going to finish with this. I read something yesterday by a guy, you know, remember Becky Murray? She came and preached for us last year. I was reading something that her husband put on Facebook yesterday. And he put this. I was sat in my office preparing for Sunday morning. And a Muslim man walked into the church. So I went down, he went down and said hello to him. And he said, the Muslim guy said, you know, I walked past here and just knew I had to come in. Just knew I had to come into your church. And they got talking and he said, you know, I don't really know what real authority is. I don't really know what true freedom is. And Matthew began to talk to him. And in the space of that conversation, this guy gave his life to Jesus. Totally changed. And he looked at Matthew and he said, when you prayed for me, something happened. I felt something. Something happened in me. Something changed in me. Do you know what? That's God's authority. He doesn't bring control. He brings freedom from whatever it is, from the biggest situations. God this morning can give you personal freedom if He is abiding within you, if His Spirit is resting on you and He's filling you. He can give you personal freedom this morning.